Merry Christmas, church. It is wonderful to be with you all today. I hope and I trust that while this Christmas, very much like last year, looks a lot different than any of us dreamt that it would, that in the midst of it all, there have been some remarkable blessings for you and for those you love and for those you care about. I loved seeing and being with so many of you Christmas Eve. And today, I hope we can together enter into the Christmas story a little bit more. Obviously, this isn't the main stage of First Alliance Church. I'm in my home. I'm in my living room. And many months ago, while praying and dreaming for what to do this weekend as a teaching team, we were imagining our church family likely tuning in from the comforts of their home. And we thought it would be fun and special to do that together. I wanted to welcome you into my home. We wanted to be welcomed into Pastor Dave's home and the clubhouse as they lead us in worship. And the Peyton house as Pastor James welcomes us in there. And to be home for the holidays together. And also as a way to remind us that we are an FAC family together throughout this city and this world. And we're longing to build our lives, to build our homes together in a way that honors the one who was just born. It would be awesome if we could all be in the same house. And I guess through technology, in some ways we are, but we wanted to be home for the holidays together this year. This week it's a bit of a unique one. It's right after Christmas and our amazing Christmas Eve celebration. It's right after celebrating the birth of Jesus, and it's right before we enter into a new year. And we were thinking, like, what's the best way we can respond to both of these realities, to the wonder of Jesus and the transition into a new year? And over the years at FAC, we've done all kinds of things. We've done full services in the building. We've done story weekends where we tell the story of what God had done in and through our community throughout the year. We've done prayers of examine and contemplation. And we've done some greatest hits where we look at some of the messages that really resonated with our community. So for this year, Home for the Holidays, it got me thinking and picturing the hundreds of us in our living rooms or perhaps another place. And as one of your pastors, I was just imagining how wonderful it would be if you and I, if we could just sit in a room together and talk about what it looks like and what it would mean to faithfully and biblically respond to Christmas together this year. I would love to have you here and just say, how do we respond to Christmas? Well, with love and wonder. Like I said, there's two things converging this week, and it's the birth of Jesus, number one. Christmas is the extraordinary moment of God sending Jesus into this world, God with us, to save, to restore, to heal, to be present with us. How do we respond to that reality? But this week is also the last week of 2021. You know, this week, all the lists will be rolling out. Top songs, top movies, top shows, top sports plays. This week is a time where people reflect on all that's gone on throughout this year. And it's been a loaded year. I hope that there have been some beautiful moments throughout this year. Moments of grace and wonder and joy. And more than likely, there's been more than a few moments of pain and difficulty and complexity and sadness. You know, in my life, as I was thinking through this, it's been a year of hardships. My grandma died, and I wasn't able to see her because of COVID and distancing. My parents moved across the country. Just recently, I had a dear friend die from COVID. I know of businesses lost. Jobs have been lost. And yet there have also been moments of beauty. Chelsea and I have had a daughter enter the world. We've had some friendships begun and been enriched. We've come to know Jesus in new ways. And that's all those good and bad things, those are all within the last couple of months alone. And as amazing as holidays are, and this time of year, as amazing as it is, it can also be really complex because it's a time where we take inventory and stock of all that's gone on. Last Christmas, I couldn't see my grandma because of health restrictions, and this year I can't see her because she's not here. And there's all kinds of stories like that in our church family. This time of year can be amazing and beautiful and wonderful, but it can also be really hard. And I think that there's a moment in the birth story of Jesus where we see someone responding to the birth of Jesus in a way that will help us bring both of these realities together. Processing the hardships and beauty of this year and responding to the wonder of God with us. There's a response in the story of Jesus that helps us process these things. It's found in Luke chapter 2. So before I read this particular response, I want to kind of remind us of the birth scene of Jesus. We looked a few weeks ago in our portrait series that what Luke was doing with his gospel was showing the Spirit's role in the birth of Jesus and the birth of the church. Luke spends more time on the birth of Jesus than any of the other gospel writers. And he shows more of the responses than anyone else too. He shows the response of the angels singing, breaking into the human space, to the shepherds. He shows the response of the shepherds. He shows the response of Mary. He shows the response of all kinds of people. Matthew shows the response of the Magi. But for what it's worth, every one of these responses have a time and a place for us to incorporate these in our response to the birth of Jesus. But for us today, there's brilliance and there's great wisdom in one response. And it's a response that doesn't get as much attention. It doesn't get as much time as the angels or the shepherds or the Magi. And that's the response of Mary. There is so much in Mary's response to the birth of Jesus that we can learn from and that we should respond by emulating in our lives. There is a reason God chose Mary to mother Jesus after all. So Mary, she's engaged to Joseph. She's visited by Gabriel the angel. She visits her relative Elizabeth, who starts to basically prophesy about what was within Mary's womb. 3 months later, she returns home to her hometown, a tiny little village. She would have been likely visibly pregnant at that point, and she lived in the kind of village where everyone knew everyone's stuff. It was a really small town, really small place. There would have been all kinds of talk and gossip and mocking and scoffing. Mary's living there, and then at 9 months pregnant, she does a 150-kilometer road trip on a donkey in Israel, a desert. It's hot. And she ends up in Bethlehem. She gets repeatedly turned away, and she has a baby in a cave or a back room of some sort. And then she gets visited by some stinky shepherds, and then this is what we respond. Luke 2, starting in verse 16. The shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, here's her response. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Everyone who heard the news of what the shepherds said were amazed. But Mary's response, it's distinguished as different to the masses, to everyone else. We're told that Mary treasures up these things in her heart and she ponders them. And Mary's response of treasuring and pondering is what I want us to explore together. So in that moment, Mary's reality was complex. In the last couple of 9-10 months, Mary had experienced dreams and visions and prophecies. She had received and been on the harsh end of social scoffing, communal judgment, and mockery. She had been turned away room after room. Their promises had been given. There were longings. She was anticipating and dreaming of a marriage. And now this marriage was beginning with a baby. And moreover, when Mary was considering the future, what lay ahead of her, she would have known some of what her beloved baby would go through. And yet she also would have been really wondering and curious, what does this one being the Messiah mean for me and for my people? Mary had a complex reality going on in her life, like us. We've had complex years, highs and lows, mountaintop experiences and valley floors. And Mary's response in that kind of environment was she treasured all the things that had been going on and she pondered them. Luke actually uses this description of pondering a few other times in his second book, in Acts. And he uses it to show people debating, discussing, conferring, probing, and engaging with the complexities at hand. And Luke is telling us that what Mary did here, she was pondering deeply. She was trying to take these experiences and these promises and trying to bring them together in a way that made sense. No doubt she was pondering what she had just experienced. Birth is a big deal. It's a pretty crazy time of life for everyone that's involved. She would have been pondering all that she had been told about from her whole upbringing, about the theology of what a Messiah would do, freeing Israel, saving people. And she's like, my baby, is that? She was trying to interpret all that she had heard, all that she had seen, all that she had experienced. Like, oh, he's going to be raised here. He's going to be born in the town of David. All of these kinds of messianic promises. She was trying to interpret all of what she had known with what she was seeing and experiencing. She was treasuring and pondering and tying together the hopes and the dreams and the longings with what she was experiencing. And I think that that's what we need to learn how to do as well. To tie in together our experiences, our hopes, our dreams, our humanity with Jesus and his birth and his coming and his story and his engagement in our lives. This is a really big challenge, though. But may we be a people that ponder and probe and reconcile the theology and belief that we hold with the life experiences that we go through. Jesus is God with us, which means in everything around us, everything that we go through, there is an opportunity to see God at work. Jesus' name, Emmanuel, is God with us, which means everything we've gone through in this year, the good and the bad, God is with us, which means we can know him in new ways. Mary's response was one of pondering until she, as one scholar describes it, hit upon the right meaning. That's what she was doing, trying to discover the right meaning of all that she's going through. And so, church, when it comes time for our pondering and our wrestling and our treasuring, may we engage in that process with the people that are safe and beloved in our lives until we find the right meaning of Jesus with us in all of our experiences and challenges. And so when it comes to this Christmas, to our lives right now with everything that we're going through, it's a good question to ask, what are we treasuring? What are we pondering? I love how holistic Mary's response is. We're told that her memory's engaged. You know, she kept all these things that were going on. She engaged her memory. Remember at our Vision Weekend, Pastor James talking about the importance of memory in the life of God's people? Mary remembered what was going on. But we also see that not only her memory was engaged, but her affections were engaged. We're told that she kept these in her heart, the seat of emotion. She remembered, her mind was engaged as she pondered, considered, and thought through and weighed all of these things in meaningful ways, and her affections were engaged. Memory, mind, heart, holistically pondering and treasuring Jesus with all of who we are. And God has created us as holistic people. And we're to think about him, to sense him, to remember him, and to love him as one person. Our lives and our faith, our experiences and our theology are never meant to be fragmented. They're meant to be tied together. I hinted at it above. But the closest person on the planet to baby Jesus was his mother. Nobody was closer to Jesus than Mary. You know, I have a 3-month-old. There's just nothing like an infant with his or her mother. But I want us to notice that the most captured person by Jesus, you know, there was the glory of heaven, there were the angels, there were the shepherds, but the person who was most compelled and captured and engaged with Jesus was Mary. And it shows us, church. It shows us that those who are the nearest to Jesus are the ones who most treasure and ponder him. There were a whole lot of people amazed at what the shepherds said. But the one who was closest also had to really wrestle through and process this. And part of the call of being close to Jesus is the wrestling, the conferring, the deliberating, the pondering, the reconciling of our lives with God with us and processing that together in a holistic way, affections, memory, experience, understanding, treasuring, and pondering. The poet Mary Oliver said that attention is the beginning of devotion. Are we giving our attention to Jesus in these days? Devoting ourselves to him. Because what we treasure and what we ponder will shape what we are devoted to. Which means, before we live fully devoted lives of faith, we have to pay full attention to who Jesus is in and through our lives. Like I said before, Luke 2 shows all kinds of responses: amazement, bewilderment, ecstatic excitement, glory in the heavens, all kinds of responses. The question is, how will we respond? How will we incorporate and tie in all of the things of our lives with Jesus in our midst? This week, yesterday, Christmas Eve, we've celebrated Jesus' birth. And today, as we consider some scriptures, we come to know the treasure of Jesus. And because of Christmas Day, 2022 has the potential to be a year where in new ways we treasure, ponder, and love Jesus more than we have before. May we remember Jesus and what he's done for us. May we make our lives such that we treasure him and set our affections upon him. But before we make our way into the new year, we should also be processing the year that was. And so I want us to engage with Mary's response. I want us to practice Mary's response, to embody it ourselves. Like I said at the beginning, I was imagining how wonderful it would be if we could just sit together and respond faithfully and biblically together to Christmas this year. I think that would be a really wonderful thing. And while we're not able to do that, I do want us to try in the spaces that we are right now, wherever you may be, I want us to try and adopt a Mary-like approach to treasuring and pondering Jesus. A therapist once said, when it comes to living spiritually vibrant and flourishing lives, the number one problem that we will face is time. This therapist said that people are just too busy to live emotionally healthy and spiritually rich and vibrant lives. Too busy to live holistically flourishing, vibrant spiritual lives. And so I want to give you a pastoral gift. I want to give and create a space and some time to take some steps towards emotionally healthy and spiritually rich lives, to treasure and to ponder the two things that are converging this week: the transition into a new year and the arrival of God's greatest gift. He himself with us. Christmas reminds us that God is with us, which means in every opportunity, circumstance, and situation, God is with us, and he can use them to form us to become like the one who was just born, to become like Jesus. I know we believe that God knows all things, but I wonder sometimes if we miss out on learning things about ourselves because we don't take time to pray and slow down and wonder, and maybe pray the words that David did in Psalm 139 when he said, "Search me, God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." I know I'm not the only one that thinks that so much of this modern life is oriented away from this kind of prayer and lifestyle. It just seems that the pace of life these days makes it difficult to pay attention to ourselves and to notice God in the details of our lives. One author said that to slow down and live a life of contemplation is like taking a vow of poverty in previous centuries. It's just that difficult to slow down. I believe the therapist was right. One of the limiting factors to us processing Jesus in our lives, the difference that Christmas makes, and all of the ups and downs of our life is time. We just don't retreat as well as Jesus did to solitude and silence. And so, I want us to practice doing this ourselves. To process the year that just was. The highs, the lows. A year of hardships, a year of joys, a year of fill in the blank. Whatever it may be for you. You know, for some, this kind of processing might be really easy. Perhaps something you even practice regularly. But for others, it might be really hard. And so I want to take some advice from people that are a little further down the road of this kind of processing, this treasuring and pondering than I am. Rich Viotas, he wrote an excellent book. It's called The Deeply Formed Life. In it, he talks about how our lives can be deeply formed and deeply aligned and integrated with the life of Jesus. And he provides some really helpful questions to process. He says these are questions we should ask daily, and he's probably right. But I'm suggesting today we do it on the whole year. It's a big task. But I want us to ask these questions of our year. And you can pause this video or you can just write them down. But ask these questions as you process the year. First one, what have been sources of delight in my life? What are some of the best parts of the year? What are some of those beautiful moments? Maybe it's something as dramatic as the birth of a child or grandchild. Or maybe it's a sunrise or a sunset. Flowers blooming, I'm not sure. What were some sources of delight this year for you? What's a great moment of joy? We should also be asking though, what have I been mad about? What are some of the things that have evoked a response of madness? Processing our hurts, our frustrations, our angers, and acknowledging that is a helpful thing in living a life in alignment with Jesus. What have you been mad about this year? Another question is, what have I been sad about? If your year's been like mine, there's been a lot of tears shed over sad things. What have you been sad about this year? What's broken your heart? What have been some of the things that have caused tears or hardships in your life? And then fourth, what have I been anxious about? What are some of the things that have caused me anxiety? We're told in the scriptures that God cares about us and what we're going through and to present these things to him. There's no wrong answers to any of these questions. Well, the only wrong answer is a non-answer. What have I been delighted by? Or, you know, you could say, if you want to go with the rhyming thing, what have I been glad about? What have I been mad about? What have I been sad about? And what has caused me some anxiety? Remembering our highs and lows. And then what we do with those is we present them to Jesus. We process them with him. The year that was, the things that have happened over the course of this year, that's part one of what's converging this week. But the second thing, and it is Everything is the mystery and the wonder and the joy and the beauty of God with us, Christmas. And one of the things that Luke clearly shows is Mary pondered what was told her. And she was told that this one who was born was a Savior, Messiah, and Lord. Savior, Messiah, Lord, who's coming to save people. And so what I want us to do is to take that list of things that we're mad, sad, glad, and anxious about. Take those things and ponder them. But to ponder them in light of a Savior, Messiah, and Lord who is present. And it might take some deliberation, some conferring, some figuring out the right meaning of these things, but we should present all of these things that we've processed over the course of this year in light of who Jesus is in our lives. Let's bring those things to Him, asking us, God, where were you in that moment? Jesus, what are you wanting to teach me in this moment? What does this tell me about who you are and your world? God, will you, like the portrait series, will you show me your message here? Will you show me your prophecy here, your spirit here? Will you show me your glory here? But we should ask those questions, write down what's going on, and then process them in light of Jesus, Savior, Messiah, Lord. Deliberate upon that together. There are all kinds of brilliant ways to respond to Jesus, and we see many of them in the Bibles. But don't miss the response of Mary, treasuring and pondering, wrestling through all the things we're seeing and thinking and feeling with what we know to be true about who God is. And as we do that, I believe we really will be at home in our lives with God this holiday season. We'll know Him in new ways. We'll celebrate the beauty of Christmas. We'll process the year that was. And together, as we seek in our homes to build a life that honors Jesus, we can make our way into the year 2022. I'll pray for us. God, thank you that you sent Jesus, who is God with us. And I pray, Lord, that you help us in our memory to acknowledge the sad, the glad, the mad, and the anxious. And that you'll help us connect that with the coming of Jesus in our lives. You're so good to us. You're so kind to us. It's been a year with some highs and some lows and everything in between. And we want to know you. And so, God, will you search us and know our hearts and see if there's any anxious thoughts within us. May we know you in new ways. Thank you for Jesus, who is with us in all things, who goes before us and calls us out by name. We're so grateful. We love you and we need you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.